This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subjugated to other people. Now, the beauty of the Arabic language is, the word that is used in the Quran for this, sukhriya and sikhriya, uses the same word, لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيَةً. The word for using and the word for exploiting, the difference between them is a vowel. It's literally a kasra and a dhamma. So what happens is, you can start having contempt for other people because you're in this position where you can subordinate others to you. And this is the danger. So human beings become contemptuous of other people, and that's a disease. And that's why the Quran warns about that, that it's God who did this. It's not you. And what then is supposed to happen is, if you're a servant of God, you begin to see it as a bounty that God has given you, not for any specific reason, but that He gives to whom He pleases. And just as He gave you, He can take it away, and He can give that person what He's given you. And then in the Quran, Allah says that their affairs between them were all different, and every group was happy with what they were doing. Now, one of the things about the modern world, which is different, because it's important to note this, and in fact, America is kind of the unique place where the idea of place in society was removed. In other words, you had this, in the traditional Muslim world, people had places in society, and the only thing that could get you out of that was knowledge. It was knowledge. Even wealth was very difficult to break into, and it's still like that in most Muslim countries. It's still like that in this country. It's very difficult. If you don't have capital to make any money, it's very difficult. Very clever people can do it, and there are ways to do that. And those people are usually people that, you know, people are interested in them, because how did they do it? So a person who has nothing and ends up becoming wealthy, it's usually, again, some type of knowledge, it's some type of creativity. They find something nobody else has done before. They find some niche or something like that. And then there's crafty people that learn how to do things dishonestly. And they can also do that. So organized crime or disorganized crime, however it happens. I mean, Enron was organized crime. It was organized at a very high level. So this is a very nice poem. It's an American poet. It's called The Fear of God. If you should rise from nowhere up to somewhere, from being no one up to being someone, be sure to keep repeating to yourself, you owe it to an arbitrary God. And he means by arbitrary, it's somebody that does things according to their own discretion. Nothing's imposed on them from the outside to do it. And that's what the Quran emphasizes, that يُؤْتِي فَضْلَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He gives to whom he pleases. That's an arbitrary decision from God. And an arbiter in English is somebody who has the authority to dictate a judgment. You owe it to an arbitrary God whose mercy to you rather than to others won't bear too critical examination. If you really start looking at yourself, you start seeing that you don't really deserve this more than this person. Right? So you begin to analyze that, you see that. Stay unassuming. If for lack of license to wear the uniform of who you are, you should be tempted to make up for it in a subordinating look or tone. In other words, if you start realizing, and this is the sense of inferiority, that you don't really deserve to be, you don't have a right to what you have, that can make you feel inferior. And so you make up for that by looking at people with a subordinating look. In other words, you place them in a class lower than yourselves. So, if for lack of license to wear the uniform of who you are, you should be tempted to make up for it in an insubordinating look or tone, beware of coming too much to the surface and using for apparel what was meant to be the curtain of the inmost soul. Because that reality is an inward reality. That's what he's saying. It's not the outward. It's not those. Because if you've been given all these gifts and you're just an arrogant monster with the gifts, they might benefit other people, but they haven't benefited you. So anything that you've been given, you have to see it as the bounty of God. That is a beautiful expression of what this is about, of recognizing that these differences that we see in the creation are differences that God has placed. And if he has placed you in a position over others, it is not because of some inherent betterness. It's because that is the nature of the world that you're in, and then it becomes a responsibility. And that's why the highest quality of the Prophet ﷺ is his servitude to Allah and his creation. Because he was a servant before anything. If you look, his entire life was in service to others. I mean, even before he was given the revelation, he was a trustworthy merchant in the service of another. And in the service of a woman, which for many Arabs would have been seen as humiliating. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ didn't have that same view of the world that a lot of people have. He didn't see things the way other people saw it. That if something's honorable, it's honorable, and it doesn't matter what it might appear to others. Now, one of the things that's brought out, which is really important, is it may happen that you will hate a thing which is good for you. عَسَىٰن تَكْرَوْ شَيْنُ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And it may happen that you love a thing. وَعَسَىٰن تُحِبُّ شَيْنُ هُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And maybe you love a thing and it is evil for you. And God knows and you do not know. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. God knows and you do not know. If you're given something that somebody else was given, it might destroy you. So you want something, people want to win the lottery. There's all these people that have won the lottery and it's ruined their lives. Completely destroyed their lives. They ended up losing all their friends, they got divorces, and this is the reality of the world. You don't know what is good for you and what is not good for you. And that's why you don't ask for specific things in Islam. The sunnah is not to ask for specific things, because you don't know if it's good for you or not. And Thalaba is a great example of that, the man who came to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, make prayer that God gives me wealth. And he said, no. And he kept coming back to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua that I get some wealth and I promise I'll use it for good and this and that. And the Prophet wouldn't do it, but he kept, it's called ilhah. The man didn't get the message, and the Prophet, out of his generosity, he won't turn away somebody who questions him, who asks for something. So he made a dua, and this man who used to always be in the front of the prayer line, he suddenly started getting all this wealth, animal, livestock, and he would get further and further away from the mosque because he'd have to go out and graze his animals, and he'd end up not praying in the community. And then when the time came for zakat, he was asked to give zakat, and he said, well, this is like jizya. And so it actually had a terrible effect on him. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ knew, but he became a lesson for others. I mean, that's why I'm even mentioning him today as a lesson. He became a lesson for the rest of the believers. So you don't know what is good for you. Now, one of the things is that good comes to us through the qadr. One of the things that is measured out is the degree of freedom, that Allah created everything and guided it to its purpose. And because the human being was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the human being has a purpose. And he was guided and she was guided to that purpose, which is servitude. And servitude means that one knows that one is in a subordinate position with one's creator and not with anybody else. And therefore, what happens is you begin to look at things differently. This does not mean that you don't recognize hierarchy in the creation, but you don't have this value placement on the hierarchy that the people of the outward have. In other words, when you look at creation, you don't know if the street sweeper is closer to God than the physician. The physician might be more beneficial in worldly terms. The street sweeper might be closer to God in piety and in awareness of God and have answered prayers and actually be more beneficial without even knowing. So the eye, the basira or the inward eye is different than the outward eye. When you look with the inward eye, it has a different vision than the outward eye has. But the inward eye is, in most people, it's veiled. I mean, it's like when children are born, they can't see. They can only see very, very close. They can't see anything. And some of them have all this gunk in their eyes that prevents them from seeing. So part of growing up is being able to open your eyes. Now, also sleepers don't see because their eyes are closed when they sleep. So if somebody's inner Because we have different awakenings. You know, there's three basic human awakenings. You have the bestial awakening, which is the awakening of the senses. And this is obviously begins with touch, and that's why children put things in their mouth. They want to experience everything in the senses. And that culminates in intimacy between husband and wife. I mean, that is the height of that culmination of the sensual awakening. You also have emotional awakening. And this is the feelings that one has of love and hate and these type of things. So that's a type of awakening, that you begin to awaken to feelings that you have and why you have them, and some why he makes you angry or she makes you angry, or why you love this person or why you love that person. And then there's a intellectual awakening that people have. And many people, unfortunately, don't have that in school and things like that. The school will actually do the opposite, because teachers are often incompetent and don't respect the awareness and understanding of the students that they have, that they sometimes end up making people actually hate learning, and which is a real crime. So, but sometimes people have, I mean, I once met a guy in Maryland who was a bricklayer. He said he'd really never really thought about anything. This is a kind of interest in sports. And a brick fell on his head. They were building a house and fell on his head. And he was in the hospital for a long time. And somebody gave him a book called How to Read a Book. And he'd never read books before. And what he told me is that it's in the first or second chapter. The chapter begins with, you have a mind. And he said it was the first time he'd ever even considered that. And what happened from this book, because nobody ever told him that. He was always told that he was stupid. And he'd been told that in school. He was a stupid person. And he ended up becoming a bricklayer. Doesn't mean bricklayers are stupid, but it was a job of labor. But he had this intellectual awakening, and he began to read, and he got interest in literature, and he got interest in history, and he got interest. And he actually, his wife, because his wife married this person that didn't have that. And so they actually began to grow apart, because she wasn't growing with him. She wasn't having the same awakening. Now, the final awakening, the fourth awakening, the great awakening, is the spiritual awakening. And many, many people never wake up to this, or it's too late, like Pharaoh. I mean, it happened as he was being drowned. He had his spiritual awakening. So the idea of realizing at a certain point that you're, just as you realize that you're a sensual being through the bestial awakening, you realize that you're an emotional being. And at a certain point, you can realize that you are a intellectual being, that you have an intellect. Every human being has an intellect. People that they call average in this culture, or even below average, have immense intellectual capacity, but it hasn't been tapped. It hasn't been explored. So human beings have immense. People say, I have a terrible memory. You have an immense memory. If you start thinking about all the things that you remember, where your bank is, you know, what it's called, what type of dishwashing soap you buy. I mean, you've got massive amount of data stored there. It's phenomenal. And that's part of the problem, is that you're memorizing the wrong things.